Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity with Susan Chiraco, where we help you transform your life by changing what you're telling yourself. Whatever your circumstances, you can experience health, financial security, and a sense of well-being once again. And now, here's your host, Susan Chiraco.
On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, welcome. Today we're going to talk about one of the world's most important prayers and one of the more famous, the Lord's Prayer, through Daniel Thompson's book, The Lord's Prayer. I'd like to welcome him to the call right away to help us begin this conversation. So please wave your hands for Daniel Thompson. Well, welcome, Daniel. How are you today?
I am fine, thank you, Susan.
I'm glad to have you here. Daniel, I know that there are a couple different versions of the Lord's Prayer, and it depends on the church that you go to or whatever tradition you're following. Would you mind reciting the version of the Lord's Prayer that you use for your book?
Yes, this is wonderful. Thank you, Susan. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that is Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 in the King James Version.
I've been in churches where they don't use the closing, you know, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Do you know why they don't?
I'm not real familiar why they don't. I know that some of the churches didn't in the earlier years, and they added it at a later time, but I'm really not 100% sure.
Okay. Well, thank you, Daniel. That's a lovely place to begin a discussion about the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write a book on the Lord's Prayer?
There's two other books that inspired me partially. That would be The Uncommon Man by Tony Dungy, and then Circle Prayer by Mark Batterson. But also a main inspiration was I found myself saying my morning prayers by just reciting the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, and then just ramble on the words without even stopping and thinking that I was having a conversation with the good Lord. And not only that, my mind was wandering as I recite the words. I was also thinking about other things totally unrelated to being in a conversation with the good Lord. So I wanted to write a book so that it would actually make myself and others think about the words that we're saying when we say the Lord's Prayer instead of just recite it, to realize it is actually a conversation opening up to the good Lord and welcoming him into your life and your conversation with him.
So that makes perfect sense, to try to take it from just being a recitation to being a meaningful conversation. How do you organize it?
The way I structured the book is I'll take one section, say Our Father, and then I'll discuss in the book what it means to have God as your father, or do you have an earthly father, or are you a father? And throughout my book, I also have biblical quotes from the New International Version and the King James Version, so that people don't have to flip-flop from my book to the Bible looking for what we're discussing with this Bible study and life application.
How long did it take you to write this?
It took me 7 years to write the book. A lot of research and a lot of ideas coming to fruition as far as how I would structure it.
And do you consider it to be a divinely inspired book that you've written?
Yes, I do, Susan. I actually tell people I feel as though it's 90% written by the Holy Spirit, because I wrote the book mostly from midnight till about 3 or 4 in the morning, in the dark, and the only light I had was coming through the computer, and I felt more inspired with that surrounding and that setting, because I felt closer to the Lord and doing my research and typing it on the screen. I felt like the Holy Spirit was just moving through me throughout the whole process of writing the book.
And how do you know it's the Holy Spirit?
I just feel as though I've been led to write the book, and I've been read through it, and I have the feeling that and I've been given the knowledge that I don't normally have or acquire. And I do have sometimes where I feel like I have the gift of prophecy, where I can know and know things are going to happen, and feel as though the Holy Spirit and the Lord are leading me to different situations and things like that, including the book.
Do you ever wonder, do you ever ask yourself, you know, is this God talking to me, or is this something I want?
Definitely, Susan, and that is, to me, is one of the hardest things that people deal with throughout life, of wondering, is this what God wants, or is this me saying that God told me this is what I'm going to have? So discernment is really a major part of any belief and religion, I believe. And as you develop your relationship closer with the Lord, I feel as though it just becomes more and more clear what is truly God-driven, and what is truly, you know, your own thoughts and actions, or wanting this and that. I really feel that the closer you get to the Lord, the more He gifts you with the ability to be blessed by the Holy Spirit and open up more into your life.
Well, seeing as this book took 7 years to actually write, how did you go about it?
I wanted to do an outline as to how I would take each section of the prayer and what, you know, I would do about it for the reader. I say it's a Bible study and life application, but I broke the book down to be in sessions, and it's going to be like I said, it'll be a discussion on whatever that part of the prayer is, and then I have focus questions where, based on what you just read and what you're thinking about, what you can further think about in reference to that part of the prayer. And then you can actually write your answers in the book, so that you're leaving a legacy to your family, and they'll be able to, I mean, your grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and so on can actually see that you wrote down in this book all these important answers to these questions. And then in my book, it's also followed by discussion for focus questions. I answer the questions, and sometimes I use biblical responses too, as well, so that if somebody was to purchase the book and use it as a Bible study, they wouldn't have to do a lesson plan, because there would be some answers to the questions there as well that would open up the doors for discussion. And then for each section and session, I have what's called a community challenge, that as a single person, what you can do, like Our Father, what can you do as a single person to help your community by doing something more fatherly? What can you do as a couple that you can do to make your community a better place, based on being like a parent or a father to someone in your community? Or what you can do as a group in response to that session, like as a father, what your group or your church group or whatever organization can do for the community. And then I wrap up each session with what I call a prayer builder, where I write a prayer that is based on, like, Our Father. I write a prayer, Lord, you are my Father. Guide me and teach me to live my life for you. And I go on and on about that, and that's my prayer to the good Lord based on that section of the prayer. And then there's a blank space in the book for you to write your own prayer of what it's like, or what you might have realized throughout reading, what it's like to have God as your Father, or what you are being called to do to be a better parent or a better child even.
Well, how many biblical quotes do you have in the book?
I have about 850 to 900 biblical quotes in the book, throughout the book. So it's pretty deeply involved and based on biblical scripture.
And you're not a minister, correct?
No, I'm not. And I felt as though for the person that gets my book, I felt as though it would be better that I wasn't a minister, so that people might would be able to relate more to me and my life situations too. It's just a regular old person that was called upon the Lord to do something, and that's why. But I also, to be fair to the readers and myself, I got my preacher to review my book and read it and make any corrections that he thought might be needed or anything that he might recommend.
Did he give you his seal of approval?
Yes, he did. This is Dr. Randall Hahn from Colonial Heights Baptist Church. And I asked him to review my book when I finished it after 7 years, and it took him probably 6 to 7 months to review it. And then the day I had the meeting with him to see what he thought about it, he put the book in front of me and he said, "This is a book." I was like, "Yes, it is." And he said, "I didn't think it would take this long." But one of my most treasured possessions is where I gave him the manuscript of my book, and he actually wrote his comments in it. And when he reviewed it with me, he said, "You'll see that I wrote a lot of notes from session 1 through session 6 and 7, and I kept writing, 'This is great. Oh, what a good idea. I really like this.' And then I realized that I'm writing that all these good things too much. So he said, I just stopped writing them because I really liked the book." So that to me was a wonderful seal of approval. It really meant a lot to me.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Do you know what the purpose of writing this book was?
I'm trying not to get emotional, but my main purpose is God gave me the gift of life, and then this is my gift back to the Lord. My main purpose is to take the average person. I mean, it doesn't have to be a churchgoer that, you know, that knows the Bible better than I do or knows Bible verses. This is for just regular people that want to have a better relationship with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God, and just go to them and think about the things they went through in their life, and maybe my experiences that can help them relate to more things about their life, and then apply it to their relationship with God and say, "Oh, so that is why I went through such and such, because I became stronger and I was able to tackle more things," or, "Oh, God gave me this, and this is definitely from God, not something I've done, but something God has given." So it's a lot of multiple reasons, Susan, why I wrote the book, and I just wanted to share all these things with the reader.
Well, obviously, you want to get as many people as possible to receive this message. How are you getting the word out?
I do a lot of Bible studies with the book. I do book signings. It's available on all the different social medias, and I have a Facebook page, and it's available through Amazon and Google and all things of that nature. All people have to do is just look up the Lord's Prayer, Daniel Thompson, and it'll show up. And I make like I said, I make myself available to churches, and wherever God calls me, I will do my best to be there.
And I imagine that's why there's some importance in doing calls like this too, because using the media is a way to reach a pretty big number of people.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and I love your interviews and the audience. It really is very nice to have this available to me so that I be able to touch more lives. Thank you.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Do you have a website, or are you thinking of putting the book on audio?
No, I don't currently really have a website, and I would like to consider putting the book on audio, but I do feel as though if the book was totally on audio, it might lose a little bit of that value that I spoke of being able to write your own words into the book and leave it as your legacy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Now, you were a church leader for youth groups for, 35 years? Do you use this book as a jumping-off place for discussions?
Yes, ma'am, I do, as a matter of fact. And we also meet in different groups at different places. And it is a good way to get people involved with the Lord's Prayer that may not have even heard of it before, and might even, people that say the prayer might not even realize that they can apply it to their life. For if you say the Lord's Prayer today and then you say it 2 months from now, it'll have a different meaning to you when you really apply it to your conversation with God. One part of it might stand out a later time that didn't stand out before, and it'll just click and say, oh, this is why I need to hear this today.
Now, we started with, or early on in the conversation, we mentioned that the first section is the Our Father, and you talked about that. Is there another section that you really like to share?
Well, of course I'm going to say I like them all, but forgive us our trespass. Well, the version of that I use, forgive us our debtors, but it also some versions say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is really special to me to think that is the only contingency that God gives us in this prayer. It's just we will be judged based on how we forgive others. And it's so important in life, and so many people are offended by this or that in this day and age that they don't realize that when they have arguments or discussions about different things, they're going to be judged in heaven based on how they react to the way they feel like they've been treated badly because of such and such and such and such. So, and forgive us our debts is one of those special things that, not special in the sense that it's roses and flowers and everything, you know, glorified, but in the sense that it's reality. It's reality that, you know, we have to learn how to forgive. And it can be one of the most difficult things that we do, that people and families might not even speak for years because they can't forgive for such and such. And then so much time goes by and they don't even realize what the initial argument was that they stopped talking. So I would think that is one of the most powerful areas of the Lord's Prayer, at least for me.
It is a potent thing. When I think about the concept of forgiveness, you know, my mind goes to Nelson Mandela in South Africa and how he healed the nation after apartheid through using forgiveness as a tool. So
yeah.
Very powerful part of that prayer. Mm. Daniel, it seems fair to add that you have a rather full life outside of the church in your writing. What kind of work did you do through most of your life?
Most of my life, I've been an analytical chemist, a chemist in the water and wastewater field. And then I went into pharmaceutical. I was a scientist in pharmaceuticals for 18 years. And then also went into QA. But I also write music, and I also paint pictures and do murals for restaurants and things of that nature. So I have a very diverse,
diverse, yep.
Variety of things
It keeps it interesting, right?
Yes, and they're all God-given gifts, and he gave them to me for some reason or another. But I really tend to sway to try to make people understand that this relationship with God is what lasts forever.
And you're also married with a family?
Pardon?
You're married with a family?
Yes, I am, Susan. I've been married for about 35 years with my wife, and I have a daughter that's 42 years old and two adorable granddaughters and a perfect son-in-law.
From talking to you, Daniel, I know that you're very committed to trusting in God. Can you give us an example of a time when you trusted in God when no one else had that much faith?
I guess what comes to light is a lot of the things that I mentioned about prophecy. Sometimes God will tell me things that are about to come true, and even though it's a unforeseeable thing, it comes true. Like, for example, my wife and I have been wanting grandbabies for quite a while, and we read the book on Mark Batterson, The Circle Prayer, and the preacher even got in front of the church and said, you thank God in advance for things instead of you know, I want this, I want that, or, you know, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing that. You thank God in advance, and you make your wants, you want them known, you make them known, and you thank God in advance, and you have that faith that God will make this happen. And an example of that is when the preacher got his three things, he had three things for the church, and he had three things of his personal. My wife and I, we had our three things, and we do a prayer around the house. I still do my circle prayer every day. I walk around in a circle and say my prayers. And my wife said, one day she told me, I did my circle prayer, and I asked the good Lord for a sign of a hummingbird to see if this is going to come true, that we'll have a grandbaby, because my daughter's been trying to get pregnant for 10 years, and it just seemed impossible. It seemed impossible, Susan. And my wife does a prison ministry, and on her way to prison ministry, I called her up on the phone one day, and I said, you know, it's September, and I don't think that these hummingbirds are going to be around much longer. They probably already went to South America. So I think what you asked for was pretty much impossible. And she said, well, I told God I wanted the gift of a hummingbird, and that means that we'll have a grandbaby. And I said, well, you'll never believe what I'm holding in my hand. Susan, I was sitting on the steps, and there was a hummingbird in the yard on the grass, and it let me pick it up, and it stayed with us for 2 or 3 months. And
my goodness.
And that,
wow.
That meant to us that we were going to have a grandbaby. And not very long after that, I was saying my circle prayer, and on the second circle around the house, God literally knocked me off my feet and said, it is done. And I went crying to my wife. I could barely walk. I went crying to my wife, and I said, we're going to have a baby. And I said, June 27th. My daughter's going to have a baby on June 27th. And my daughter didn't even know that she was pregnant at the time. And I said that, and I was off a little bit, but our first granddaughter came on July 11th.
Wow. Isn't that marvelous? And that you have that kind of communication. That is really profound. Do you have any final thoughts about your book that you'd like to share with our listeners?
The main thing is this book was written for everyone, especially those that are in search of the true meaning of Christianity and the true meaning of what it's like to have a God-driven life and a relationship with all three, God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God, you can do anything. And whatever seems impossible to achieve, with all three of them and you, it is possible to achieve. And the purpose of this book is help you to develop that kind of relationship where you can go to your best friend, and ask them heartily what you really want and really need, and know that God will provide.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Daniel. Let's remind our listeners that we've been talking about your book, The Lord's Prayer. And can you remind us where listeners can go to find the books?
They can go to Amazon or Google, and then it will pop up, and it is available most of the other retailers on the internet. If you just do any kind of search on Bing or whoever, The Lord's Prayer, Daniel Thompson, and it will show up.
Great. Thank you. And thanks to our listeners for joining us today as well. Remember, nothing supports you're more than welcome. Remember, nothing supports the work of authors better than picking up a copy of their books. And you can also support the work of this program by going to the anchor.fm podcast, Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power. You can like us, follow us, sponsor, or subscribe to the podcast. And we thank you for letting us give authors a voice. Thank you again for being with us, Daniel.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Once again, it's time to go, everyone. Bye for now, and have a great day.
Thank you very much for tuning in today. If you've been inspired by this show, leave a rating or review on iTunes and visit www.rainbowsoverruins.com to receive a free chapter from Susan's book. On behalf of Susan Shirako, this has been Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity, sharing the journeys of those affected by sudden and great loss and what they did to heal, rebuild, and where they are now.